Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life Radio Show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and this is Dr. Joanne White, and I'm really glad to be here today because we're going to focus on a topic that a lot of people don't even focus on until it's really too late. However, it's about retirement, but it's not just about retirement because I think that what we're going to have today is a lot of useful information that everybody can utilize. And you don't have to be somebody who's thinking about retirement or somebody who's at the retirement age to really benefit from our guests. And so we're going to move right into our first guest and think about that a little bit. Many people I know and many people that I've spoken to feel like, oh, my God, retirement, and they look at it with kind of apprehension, and particularly with a lot of what's going on now in terms of finances. But retirement is so much more than just the financial aspect, and retirement is also about health and wellness, and I'm not going to steal the show here, but there's so much more. And my first guest, Jack Tater, who's an author and an inspirational and motivational speaker, really focuses in on what's important. His first book about retirement, Safe for Retirement, The Four Keys to a Safe Retirement, reached number one on Amazon in personal health and finance. After Jack experienced deep personal tragedies, he was one of the world's leading market researchers. He examined the realities of retirement, and what Jack discovered was that many people are thrust into retirement ill-equipped to handle the new aspects of their life. So his first book was unique. It focuses on the holistic view of retirement rather than what most books focus on, which is exclusively financial matters. And his second book, which I have in my hands right now and I'm loving, folks, is about the 10 joys of a safe retirement. And again, retirement doesn't have to be something that's a drone or something that we're fearful about or hesitant about, but Jack really presents a whole new way of seeing retirement and a whole new way of really getting into it. And Jack is also CEO of GEM Research Solutions, a leading market research firm, and he's done so much more, which we'll talk about. Jack, how are you?
I'm very good, Joanne. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I think it's great. And I think that this book is so, well, both of your books, they're so timely and they're so very, very important. And so before we get to this 10 joys, and when I look at this book, I'm smiling. And there are two people on the cover and they're smiling too. And I think that's a great way to go into retirement. Let's just a little bit talk about what the four keys are to a safe retirement and then expand a little bit to the joy of it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, as you mentioned, I took a good hard look at retirement and how people live in retirement, and also took a good look at the literature that's currently out there related to retirement. And if you go to any of the stores right now, Barnes & Noble, whatever bookstores, or even to the library, you try and find something on retirement that talks to people about retirement, it's all about financial. It's all about the goal of retirement. And there's nothing out there about the journey of retirement. And I started to examine the journey of retirement for people. In fact, I did this after the deaths of both my parents within 6 months of each other. And that led me to take a look at their retirement as well as a lot of the research that's out there. As you mentioned, I'm a researcher because I wanted to try and come to grips with what helps to avoid this reality of such things as people sitting around doing nothing in retirement, or people being unhappy in retirement, or also people die 6 months of each other, which is what happened with my parents. And when I examined it, the reality is retirement is really made up of four different aspects, and there's four things that you've got to take a look at. One is obviously financial preparedness. You've got to have a foundation to be able to retire financially. That's what the majority of books are about. You also have to consider your health and wellness. You also, very important, you have to consider your mental attitude. As you become retired, you're going to lose friends and family, and you're also going to be more spiritually focused. So you've got to adjust your mental attitude and have a positive attitude, which is where my second book came from. Final aspect, which is very, very important, most people overlook this, is the need to stay involved. In retirement, now you have all of this time, but it's very important to be involved, to have a social structure. You have a social structure around you, it makes you live longer and safer in retirement. So those are the four keys to a safe retirement. Like you said, my first book focuses on each of those areas in much more depth.
Now, I love the fact that you're talking about the journey of retirement, because so many people, Jack, overlook the fact that life is a process, that learning is a process, that growth is a process. And yes, retirement is a process too. And like you're saying, it takes place even before that actual date of whatever that is, this is the day I'm retiring. So I think that's so very important. You have a story, and I know that my listeners love these personal stories. You went through a very difficult time, and that sort of turned you around. Are you okay to share that story with our listeners?
Sure. I kind of alluded to it earlier. Basically, I grew up with two parents who worked. My mom worked at night. My dad worked during the day, so that there was always somebody home. I guess it was a different time back then. But they worked very hard. They always looked forward to retiring. They put money away, albeit not a lot of money. My father was a civil servant. My mom had a small pension as a nurse. And when they retired, financially they were okay. They had things that allowed them to live modestly. But there was a number of things that they didn't take care of. Their health, a lot of their attitude, and their inability to be involved. And unfortunately, my dad passed away somewhat suddenly. He had cancer, and he came back, and he lost him within 2 days of going into the hospital. And although we spent a lot of time with my mom during that period of time, 6 months later, she passed very suddenly. In fact, she had hidden some illnesses from us. She didn't want to burden us with them. And 6 months later, she passed away. So I lost both my parents within 6 months of each other. And in my despair, I spent some time with a friend of mine, and we started to talk about this, and he said, you know, that's not uncommon that happens. And as a researcher, I started to say, well, why is that? And the reality is there's this thing called a broken heart syndrome, which happens, and this is caused because people lose a spouse and they have a they don't have a good attitude towards life, but even more importantly, they don't have a social structure. Even though we were very close with my mom, she didn't have a social structure. She wasn't involved in some activities beyond the family, so that she had a social structure to help her out. So in trying to kind of deal with the death of my parents and taking a look at things, I just kind of put my head down and started to write some things and started to look at it, trying to find answers. And ultimately what I came up with was this book. So my whole intent with the book is to try and help others so that they're able to live a safer and longer retirement by taking a look at all of these aspects, which, as I wrote in the book, I wish my parents had had this book before they had passed away.
You know, as you're talking, I'm feeling the same way, because my mother also, before she hit a lot of medical stuff that was going on with her, just like you said, she didn't want to burden your parents. Your mom didn't want to burden you folks, and my mother was the same way. But I really... And I understand about that broken heart syndrome, because I've looked at so much going on too. When one spouse dies, then very early, you know, as close to the heels of that death comes their partner, And you're talking about getting involved and having some kind of social structure. Isn't it important to start that process long before that your spouse is deceased, so that you have that social network going? And if so, how do people do that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's absolutely critical. What ends up happening is a lot of times people end up retiring. They leave this job that they've had and these friends that they've had, and all of a sudden now they're on their own. And it becomes very tough and almost a chore to kind of stay in touch with these people. And also, if you're not involved in certain activities and certain hobbies and certain interests, a lot of people transition with their church groups. The church structure kind of helps them, their hobbies, if they have certain hobbies and things along those lines. And one of the concerns I have with my parents is they didn't really have any hobbies. They worked hard their entire life. They just kind of worked. And when they retired, they didn't have a lot of hobbies. So therefore, they didn't have a social structure. So I really encourage people that before you retire to really take a look at what interests you, what are your passions, and start to get involved in those passions. Start to reach out to some of those organizations where maybe you've been involved on the periphery, and get more involved, either church groups or local organizations or volunteering organizations. Get involved with them before you retire, and then once you transition, you're able to transition into that social structure. And it actually is a very good transition from the work life into the retirement life in terms of time management and things along those lines. So I encourage people to do that earlier, because that's a way to encourage it, because a lot of times people, they retire and they don't know what to do in terms of filling in that extra time. So there's a need to transition, like you said, prior to even retiring and building those social structures earlier.
Now, you are involved in so much, and I'm going to mention some of this too. In addition to being CEO of GEM Research Solutions, you're involved with startup businesses, one in particular, High Schoogle, is that right? High Schoogle, I love that, .com. Which receives regard and reviews in the online industry for helping high school students and their parents to navigate through the high school years, and that's another very challenging transition. You're also created TerraCycle, which is the leading company in transforming waste into commercial products. Bravo! And because I think that's so important. And also president of People Tested Publications, a publisher of content that provides a platform for individuals who've endured trials and challenges in their lives and have that inspirational story to tell. So my question to you is, and you don't have to give your age. We don't want your age. I want eight. But here you are involved in all these things. And my sense is that they're not just work-related, that these are passions of yours. My question is, if somebody does that, like you, for instance, who has these passions and while they're working, is it possible that at the retirement stage or age or transitioning that some of these passions can still continue, but it's not? How do people go about that? So it's not work, it's just something that they're building upon?
Well, I think it has to be an attitude about why you're doing it, and you know, there's always this old adage of, you know, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life, and I think the reality is all of us have to work and raise money and bring money in, and I fortunately made a decision to go and do my own business to allow myself some flexibility to go and pursue some additional ventures in my free time. I now view I have my core business that basically helps to pay the bills, but I now have a transition plan such that my intent is not so much to keep working for the sake of working, but my intent is to work for the benefit of others. So I hope that I've found some areas of interest that I think can help others. So when I put efforts into things related to this book or related to People Tested publications, to me that's not work. To me that's helping others, and so there's a different mindset that I'm putting time to something that I think is of value. So it doesn't become work. It becomes a place that I'm putting my time, and I'm really making it. I spend so much time working and being in jobs where you know, we probably haven't made much of a difference for others. And if you have the ability, and I've been fortunate to pursue some of these interests. In fact, I guess it's probably a silver lining with this book, and it's probably a gift that my parents left me when they left, was to push me to write this book, because now it allows me to go out and help others. So to me, that's a goal that I have in life, to help others, and I'm able to do it, but I don't view it as work, and I'm hoping that as I can transition into a situation where I don't have to worry about the money, I can do more and more of these efforts, and it's just putting my time into something that's of interest, as well as continuing to improve my golf game and things like that that we also should be doing in our retirement.
And which is, it's the fun part, and we'll talk about that, too, when we get to the joys of a safe retirement. I love what you said in terms of doing something of value and helping others and making a difference, because there's a lot of research that suggests, not only in your retirement years, but in terms of feeling good about yourself, of feeling that you're doing something worthwhile, of feeling connected, like you talk about having some kind of social structure, that doing something for others, doing something like you're talking about throughout, that's making a difference in other people's lives and creating some kind of positive impact, works in our, you know, in our best interest as well. So the idea of helping others, which also helps ourselves and helps that whole aspect of self, you talk so much about the holistic views of retirement, I think it creates that win-win situation. So, I just think that it's so very important that people hear this. So let's just delve right in. I don't want to give away everything in this book, because we really want people to get this book, Jack. So, but let's give people some ideas about what it means to have 10 joys of a safe retirement. Let's not give away 10 joys, just a few to pique people's interest.
Sure. Well, this was this is kind of an interesting story with this book. Within my first book, Safe for Retirement, there is a chapter that talks about the 10 joys that lead to what I call a joyous retirement. And when I started to go out and speak about the book, and I talked to audiences and people who had read the book, so many of them came back to this chapter and said, you know, I really love that chapter. It was great. There were a number of things in there that I knew that I was doing that made me feel good, and there were some other things in there that kind of influenced me to go out and do things, such as, you know, I talk in there about get close to nature, and people said, okay, you know, so I decided, you know, as part of my exercise, I'm going to go out and walk through these parks and start to some of these local parks, and it brought such joy to me, and people tell me that this chapter was something that they thought had value not only for them as retirees, but even for their children and for their grandchildren. So what I did is I pulled the chapter out. I kind of expanded on it, and I wanted to make it more age neutral. Even though it talks about specifically for a safe retirement, I encourage people to get a copy of this book and pass it on to the different generations. And I've already heard stories from teenagers, high school students, even college students who've read this, and they've said, you know, this is just a good game plan for things to do that make me feel better. So it transcends all the different ages. And they're kind of basic things that we take for granted, but if you keep them in the forefront of your thinking, like little things mean a lot, and if you think of that every while and do little things like, you know, just talk to somebody or hold a door or do something like that, you bring joy to them and you bring joy to yourself. And the point here is these are joys that you get for yourself, but you also give to others. And so I think it transcends all the different ages, and the response has been very positive. In fact, I've been in most of my speaking engagements now. I'm now distributing this book and just telling people, look, read it and then pass it on. I want this book to continue to be passed on to people, and it seems to be doing that. So like I said, it's kind of an interesting story, and it's really good to see something come out of this that's really not just specifically for retirees.
You know, you mentioned taking walks, and I think that's so important. And one of the chapters in the book is called "Get Close to Nature Regularly," and nature, like you say, nature nourishes the soul like nothing else. And I think that's so very important, because that sometimes taking that walk can move you beyond your despair, your fears, and just get you focused into how connected we are with nature and the beautiful natural world that's around us. So I just think that's so very, very, you know, it's simple, but people forget about that. They forget, well, just doing that. I remember having a friend who bought a house. She and her family bought a house, and they lived, like, virtually there was a stream down right at the end of their block. And the first year they loved it. And then afterwards, nobody even bothered to go to this incredible, I mean, who has a stream necessarily right at their doorstep, right? But they just didn't pay attention to it. So that's key.
Yeah. Well, we lose, when we're out of, lose track of these things, because we're running so hard that we don't see what's around us. And part of the ability to be retired is to kind of take a step back, take a deep breath, and to see what's around you. And little things like, oh, I never knew this stream was here. I never knew this park was here. They bring such joy to people. So it's kind of like, you know, stopping smelling the roses type of thing. But it is a real thing for you to do.
And I think it helps in terms of creating better health for somebody, and not just on a day-to-day basis, but it can help with longevity too. So let's look at another joy of the safe retirement that you have in this book, Jack.
Well, let me just probably the one that's my favorite, and the one that gets talked about a lot, and the one my wife brings up to me on a regular basis is this make a date with your negativity.
Yeah. I love that.
You know, we all kind of get into our moods, and we all kind of have things that set us off. We can't be positive, and we can't be in an upbeat mood all day. It just doesn't seem realistic to me. Maybe I'm a city boy, and that's the way I was brought up. But in taking a look at this and trying to address, well, how do we get past some of these things and some of this negativity, I came up with this approach that basically sit down, find some time, and say, you know what? I'm going to basically make a date with my negativity, which means that I'm going to basically say at 6 o'clock today, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to just spend some time with it, I'm going to talk, I'm going to think to myself why I'm being negative, understand my thoughts, understand the logic behind that, bring them up, and then I'm going to let them disappear. And I've told people, and people have come back to me, and they said they even will write them down. But they'll spend that time, they'll go off by themselves, they'll spend that time, they'll write down what's bothering them. But the point here is to get it out of your system. So by doing this, you're saying to yourself, it's okay to feel negative, but handle it on your own. Don't lash out at others, and don't let it disrupt your relationships. So this make a date with your negativity is something that's different for everybody. But the point is to address it and take care of it on your own and let it go. And let it go and move on.
And it's so important, because I have many clients who dwell on it, and I'll say something like, give yourself X amount of time to go through it, like you said, but then be done with it. But I'm looking at your book, and you say, find a time, like you said, 6 o'clock, so find your time, and as though it really is a date, comb your hair beforehand, put on perfume or cologne, shine your shoes, I love it, and then really have that date with yourself. So it's like you're meeting with somebody special, which is you,
right?
And we all should be and are special to ourselves and to one another. And there you are. You're taking that seriously and yet not avoiding it. Oftentimes people have a tendency to just avoid that negativity, and it just keeps popping up and popping up and popping up. Or, like I said, they dwell on it and they can't think of anything else. So this is brilliant. It's simple, and yet it's a great tool that people can use. So
right, my wife will say to me many times. My wife will say many times to me, "You need to have a date with your negativity," and I laugh about it, and it moves me past it.
But I think that's great, because that's what I'm going to do this week. I'm going to make a date with my negativity and see what happens.
There you go.
I'm sure it'll be great.
There you go.
Now, we only have a couple of minutes, and I want people to really be able to get in touch with you and get in touch with both books, The 10 Joys of a Safe Retirement and your 4 Keys to a Safe Retirement. So how do people get a hold of you, Jack, and how do people get a hold of your book?
Well, the books are available on Amazon. Safe for Retirement is also available in Barnes & Noble and local bookstores. Probably the easiest way to find anything and also to communicate with me and to check my website, which I update regularly and provide information, the latest information on retirement and wellness, is at www.safeforretirement.com. And that's safe, the number 4, retirement.com. You can also go to safe and spell out the word for, F-O-R, retirement.com. Either way, it'll take you to that website, and I encourage people to email me and just tell me their stories, and we post stories up there about people who are retired and who've gone through transitions in their life, and we also post the latest information on retirement topics such as Medicare and health care and things along those lines to help you out with a resource as well.
And Jack, you're an incredible resource to people, so before you leave, What's one area, something very important, that you would like our listeners to take away?
Well, I think the most important thing that you could do is, well, it's not really one thing, but is we all know to examine our health and take care of our health, and it really is the most important thing. And if you're doing things right now that you think are negatively impacting your health, what you're eating or the lack of exercise, you need to examine that and you need to change that, because we can have all these terrific plans out there and all these social structures and everything else, but if you don't have your health, it's going to be an impact on your ability to live long and to live safe. So what I tell people is one of the things is really take a deep breath, examine your health, examine your lifestyle, incorporate exercise, incorporate proper diet into your life. Hopefully you've been doing that all along, but if you haven't, now's the time, in conjunction with retiring, to say, let me take a good hard look at this, because the reality is you can change some things here and last a lot longer, which is good for yourself and good for those who love you and want you to stick around.
You know, that's really very important, and not just, like you said, not just for people who are on their way to retirement or retirees, because it happens at every time. And I remember when I was going for my master's degree and we were doing some kind of survey, and most of the people there were in their 20s and early 30s, and they were asked to actually rate what were some of the important areas of their lives. And do you know that many of the people in their 20s did not put health as number 1 or number 2 or number 3 or even number 4 because they didn't think of it that way? And yet health, like you said, if you don't have health, none of this stuff is important.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the other thing is to, in dealing with your health, make your children and those around you who love you, make them aware of your situations. Make them aware of, make them partners in taking care of your health. Tell them about the medications you're on. Tell them about your health situations. You're not out there alone. You have friends and you have family who love you. So also have an interest in sharing that, as well as taking some advice from others in terms of exercise and proper diets. Have an open mind. That's probably the most important thing to have also in retirement.
Jack, I love it, and certainly you have such important information to share. And again, people, get a hold of these books, The 4 Keys to a Safe Retirement and The 10 Joys of a Safe Retirement. You can get them at Amazon.com. Jack, thanks so much for taking your time. I know you're about to get on a flight. Have a safe trip, and thanks for sharing your wisdom with our listeners.
Joanne, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much, and thanks for everything that you do for people.
My pleasure. Take care. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
Folks, we're still into retirement, but again, it's not just retirement. It's about taking charge of your life in so many different areas. And my next guest, Bette Loughran, is going to talk to you about that. She has a great book, and she became a millionaire after she retired, and many people are thinking, how is that possible? How do you do that? What's going on? So Bette is going to be here. Actually, she's here right now to share her incredible story. She's a renowned financial author, speaker, philanthropist, and she has her own entrepreneurial success. success story. She's co-authored with her daughter the popular book that I'm looking at right now, I Want What She's Got. Bette founded the People Builders and its Millionaire Apprentice Program, and LogRun is committed to guiding others to live vibrant, healthy lives of contribution, meaning, and purpose. At the age of 65, Bette decided to make her later years even more prosperous than her earlier career, and she, as I said earlier, became a millionaire after retirement. Her goal, and I love this goal, is to spread the wealth by sharing her knowledge and millionaire success secrets, and she's going to talk to us about how to build wealth and be comfortable in retirement. So, hello, Bette, are you there? Wait, we didn't get you. Are you there?
Yes, I am here. And
okay,
I'm on
great.
My cell phone, so I have to apologize for that. I'm in Florida, and right now I'm sitting outside of Epcot Center while my family went on in, and I'm just going to enjoy visiting with you.
Well, that's great. And thanks so much for taking the time to visit with us. So let's just delve right into this, because I have people who are writing to me and saying, how did she do it? What's her secret? I want her secret. So
yep.
There you are. You were successful beforehand, but then after retirement, something else shifted and you started to become a millionaire. Please share that story with us and then some of the tools.
Thank you. Actually, the thing that happened was I thought I was dying because my parents died about the age I was before I was 65. And I just kind of moved into dying mode. You know, you just kind of begin giving up on things. It's a subtle thing that you don't realize. Sometimes you do. And I just was expecting that any time, I mean, it's perfectly healthy, but I just was in a place where, well, any time I could just go to sleep and not wake up, and that's fine. I'm ready to die. But I had no purpose. I had no value of my life. I just felt like I was done. And so the thing that happened that changed everything was I discovered that I'd lost my purpose. I really wasn't dying. But you know, it feels a lot like dying when you don't have a purpose to live.
Well, it is. It's like a death.
It is like a death. Absolutely it is. And so what I want people to get out of this book, I want what she's got, Secrets of Creating an Outrageous Life. That's the subtitle to it, Secrets of Creating an Outrageous Life. And what I want people to get out of that is hope, that it doesn't matter. We can think we're dying. We can think that things are over for us. But we can make another choice, and we can say, boy, I wonder what I could do that would add value to someone else's life. And that's what purpose is. It means that there is a reason to keep on giving, and it's usually not giving to ourselves, it's giving to others. So my book is about contribution and how I handled a lot of the changes that went on in my life. And so what I want them to do is not to have to live the nightmare that I lived, but they can have a life that they never thought they could have. That if you don't take action, if you don't change what you're doing, you'll get what you always got. So sometimes we just have to make a change. We have to make a decision. I am going to see what's out there that I can be a contributor to. And so what is it in your neighborhood, in your city, in your world, that where you can pitch in and make a difference? Maybe it's only with ideas. Maybe it's only with your money. But you've got to get out of yourself and thinking it's all about me. And when you're dying, you think it's all about you.
Now, I have a question. I have a question because you talk about hope, and I totally agree that hope is really important. But what do you do, like you were facing the fact that, okay, I'm getting ready to die, or at least you thought that was going on. What do you tell people that are not in that place of hope? How do they get out of whatever they are to feel hopeful again?
It really is a decision that we make that's kind of like deep in our heart that we are going, it's like Jack was saying, there are places where you have to look at your negativity, okay? You could say lack of hope is negativity. And take a look at that and say, do I want to choose the negativity, or what is there that I can do for someone else that's going to give them hope? Can I go feed the homeless? Can I work with children in a center? Can I help my next-door neighbor by baking pies? Could I take care of a little child in a hospital? Could I go in and rock babies? There are so many needs in our world that are going unmet because we don't even think of what we can do to contribute. Contribution is everything.
And I love that because actually in this book, I Want What She's Got, The Secrets of Creating an Outrageous Life, like you said, in this book you have a whole chapter on the power of contribution. And I think you're right. I think it is incredibly powerful. And like what you've just said, that it doesn't have to be something large. It could be something small, like making cookies or helping a neighbor or whatever. It doesn't have to be that you're spending thousands of dollars contributing to an organization or giving back. But just that focus on, like you said, stepping out of yourself brings such, I know it from personal experience, it brings such joy and it creates that incredible internal shift.
Well, when this awareness first came to me, the first thing I did was I began looking around my own community, and I did see we have a program that feeds the homeless. Well, I've never fed the homeless. I thought, I can do this. And are you there still?
I'm listening. I'm fascinated.
Okay. So I just went down and I looked these people in the eye as they came through the line and picked up their food, and I thought, where can I be an encouragement to them? What can I do that will, you know, lift them? What can I even say that might give them a piece of hope that they don't have right now? There must be a reason why they're in this negative situation. What can I do to help change that? And so I just kind of make light conversation, but it was all focused at helping them see that there are other answers. Not to condemn somebody for where they are, but to lift them from where they are.
And, you know, I think that's really important because, firstly, giving back and helping other people step out of their own, whatever it is, their own depression, sadness, grief, is a tremendous gift, like you're talking about, to them and to us. You have a chapter, and it's interesting because I wanted to focus on this a little bit, that you have a chapter called The Cost of Love in this book. Can you talk to us what that means? Because people are thinking, well, does love cost anything? What does that really mean? What's
Absolutely.
The significance?
Well, we can stop and think about what love costs from the time your baby is born. It costs you the ability to step out of yourself and change dirty diapers and to get up in the middle of the night when you don't want to. But in this case, I had a daughter that had an accident, and we thought we were going to lose her. But we absolutely refused to let go. And so we began as a family investing in this child, speaking the things over her when she couldn't even hear, things that were good and right, and speaking hope into her and her child, and not allowing there to be negativity, even with the doctors. We just determined that we would pay the price for her healing and for her coming back from what could have been from the dead. It was so, the accident she had was so severe. And today, even though she's got great scarring and she's got, you know, some things going on in her body that are tough to live with, she's an amazing young woman and she is a contributor. She's got trouble walking, but, you know, I think all the things that we paid for while she was in the hospital, all those, the investment of time and positive words are things that today she is living in. So that was an incredible investment. And her story is also in the book from her perspective as well as from mine. So,
right. Now, you talk about investment, and that's really the cost, but it's about commitment, and it's about committing to, well,
that's right.
Just committing to your child. And
that's right.
So for people, it could be committing to their children, to their pets, to their community, like you're talking about, or to a cause, anything that really opens their heart and allows them to feel connected. But again, it takes labor, and it's a labor of love, and it takes time, and time is costly. So I'm right there with you. You
the
went
wonderful
into,
thing.
Go ahead.
The
no, I want to hear you
about owning books like Jack's, like mine, have to do with feeding yourself the things that are positive in your life, that are, you know, if we put in things that are full of hope, full of answers for us, we will just automatically begin walking in those, because that's what we have inside of us. If we dwell on the negativity, then that's what we also get. So buying
and
a good book that will feed you the positivity is the best thing you can do for yourself.
Or opening a book on a daily basis to something, some positive statement, or writing something down positive, or saying something
exactly.
to yourself positive is great. Now, you exactly. talk about some of the millionaire success secrets, launching a successful business or going into a business, which initially you never know if it's going to turn out successfully, and a lot of people are wary of doing that, particularly people who haven't worked for themselves and don't know that there's a time when firstly, you don't get a paycheck from somebody else automatically. You've got to make it happen. And I knew that when I went into business. Well, I didn't know that when I first went into business. How do people actually get through that risk and that challenge?
Well, again, when Jack was talking about facing your negativity, there are things that keep us from positive things happening in our life. Taking risks. Risk is not bad. It's just, I mean, we hear all the time radio advertisements about Abraham Lincoln, about the risks he took and he lost, and he took another risk and he lost. So what? If he'd never taken the risk, he would never have ended up with what he did. So life is full of things where we have to step out of ourselves and say, what's the cost? That's here. If you're putting every bit of money you have in your house and all that in your risk, that's one thing. There are lots of smaller risks that just get us emotionally. Oh, I couldn't do that. I wouldn't be good enough for that. Take a risk and find out. And that's what I did. I got involved with a business. Actually, I got involved with, it's a health and nutrition business. I got involved with it because I had some health issues. And I wasn't looking for a business. I was looking for an opportunity to get over my brain fog, to get over my lack of energy, and I found it. And so the thing that happened when that happened was I said to somebody else, boy, I'm taking some stuff that's given me more energy, and my brain fog's gone away. And they said, oh, where do I get it? So it's not like you have to take a risk and be a salesperson. You have to take a risk and share out of your life. Don't be closed. Don't hold the good things that you've got going for yourself inside. Kind of like,
well,
get over it.
That's important, because as you're sharing it, you're benefiting other people who could really utilize that information and make their lives better, like you did, in terms of talking to people about their health and nutrition. And so that's really important. Talk a little bit about your apprentice program, because I'm fascinated with it. It's the People Builders, and it's Millionaire Apprentice Program.
Right. The PeopleBuilders.com. It's PeopleBuilders, plural, .com. And the program is about people who are looking for someone to mentor them into whatever degree of success they want. A lot of times we say, boy, I'd sure like to be a millionaire. Are you willing to pay the price? Because it's not going to happen with you sitting on a log whistling. You've got to say, I would like to try this. Would you help me? You may get to a place where you think, well, this is as far as I want to go. That's okay. But you have to start. You have to start. So the Millionaire Apprentice Program is an opportunity to interview with me and my team, and we will help you get to wherever it is you want to go. And you may not want to go very far. It is okay. But start.
So, again, it's about taking that risk to say, okay,
yes,
I want to try that, right? And then,
right.
So,
making
the
choice.
Do you screen people? How does that work?
I do. Absolutely, I do. Because if people are only saying it, have no history of really wanting something and going after it, then the chances are fairly good that they're not going to work at this either. There's so much you can tell just out of a conversation. And if they start and they don't do good, it's okay. It's not like they've failed. And so I would take anyone who says, yes, I will commit to 90 days to take a look at this, to work with it. If it doesn't work, you haven't lost anything. You've given 90 days of your commitment, and you could be a winner. It took me 5 years from when I started with this company with no vision of being a millionaire. I didn't even know that was a possibility. And in 5 years, I were one. So it just happened because I just kept investing myself in other people.
And as you're doing that, again, you're contributing to their growth, to their wellness,
exactly,
and maybe to their being millionaires too. But again, that word commitment and cost keeps coming up, because I don't care what anybody says, there has to, and you speak about this really freely, there has to be that level of commitment and perseverance to any kind of a goal to move forward with it.
Right. And it's exciting when you see things beginning to come together. You think, gee, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect it either. But each time it happened, I just said, yes, yes, I'm having that. I'm taking it.
Now, let's get back to purpose, because life purpose is incredibly important, and I know I even teach a class at a college here about helping people find their life purpose, and a lot of people are, and again, it may change over time, it may be very different from one stage of life to another, but how do people know, how do people access that information that within themselves?
Again, could be from reading about different people's life stories, thinking, boy, I think I could do that, taking risk, because I would never have thought that my purpose would fit with this health and nutrition company. I just never considered it. But what I know is transforming lives for people who want to make a difference in the world is what I'm all about. I am about health and nutrition, but more than anything, I want to make a difference in the world. And this health and nutrition is part of that. It's not the only thing I do in my life, but it's certainly a very important part. So,
and again, if you don't have the health aspect, where are you with everything else, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, yeah, I just keep finding things that I realize will make a difference in the world. I'm a person of prayer, and so because of what I'm doing, some of my team that's in my health and nutrition business are helping start a prayer initiative in their city. So, you know, if you believe that prayer changes things, then you want to get out there and pray. You want to help other people catch the vision for that. So that's outside of my business. I'm not making any money for that, but I'm making a difference in my world.
And I love that, because I'm all about making a difference in our world too. And there's so much research, Beth, that talks about the power of prayer, and how when not just one person, but one person is powerful, but then if you have many people really praying for the same thing, what can really happen,
mm-hmm,
in terms of change and transformation. Now, you also have a very special story, because you're working with family, and I know. I love my family dearly, but I don't think I would ever get to that place of working with them. Can you share with our listeners some of the challenges and also wonders, opportunities in working with family?
Absolutely. You know, the most exciting thing is that as long as we are determined to keep our own will and do things our way and always be right, there isn't anybody you can work with all the time. You have
That's
to let
true.
Go. You have to let go and let other people's ideas, other people's styles, other people's goals integrate with yours so that you can support them to get to your goals. So as soon as you realize that helping people helps you contribute, you help change them, you change the world. But in the case, I have two daughters and a son that I work closely with, and they all have the same vision for changing the world. We all do it a little differently, but they very much support me, and I very much support them. I don't criticize them. I don't try to tell them how to do it. I just look for the things that I'm in agreement with that I can support. So sometimes we're so negative that we don't even support our kids. And if we're not going to support them, we're not going to be able to work with them.
Well, I think that's important, that sense of support. And again, I work with many people who feel that they haven't had that support throughout their lives from their families and feel that a lot of what's going on is that they're a product of that, although I think that we also have to take a look at how we can change our own lives and our own future. But so what are some of the challenges that you had to face with working with your children and your family?
Well, first of all, is getting out of their way to contribute to me. Because if I've always got an opinion and I always know that it has to be done a certain way, they're not going to be able to work with me. They're not even going to want to work with me. Because it seems like, you know, every time you hit an obstacle, you tend to bounce back from it thinking, ooh, do I want to do that again? And so we have to make that transition easy for the other person so that they keep wanting to work with us and we keep wanting to work with them. I don't always agree with my daughters that are putting out ideas. They're very strong personalities, and my son either. But a lot of times I just listen and I say, okay, let's try it. And it's my responsibility as the leader not to put obstacles in front of them that they can't get over.
Which
together,
is so very
to make this thing work.
Right. And again, not only you're doing it together, but you're making a contribution to one another, to the family and also to other people,
right,
which is an incredible goal. Now, people, everybody says, I want an outrageous life, but I'm too old to do that. I can't. Here I am, whatever age they say, and some people, I'm amazed at some people at 30 say, oh my God, I'm turning 30 or 20 or whatever. But so what would you say to people who say it's too late? I mean, I don't know how to do that. How would you help them turn that around?
Well, it's a decision. Again, I'm going to be 76 years old in September, and I choose every day into what I will or won't do. Even this week at Disney World, there were things that probably 10 years ago I would not have done. My kids are going on rides that are scary to me. I don't like high things. I don't like things that jerk you around. But we got up to it, and I thought, I can choose to sit out here and wait, or I can say, I'm going to do this. I want to be with you. And so I did. Nothing hurt me. Nothing scared me that bad. I survived the jerks. I survived the drops. And it was only like a minute. And I thought, boy, I thought that was going to be terrible. I lived through it. I can live through the next one. So
that's a great attitude. I love it. That's really a wonderful attitude. So what does it mean to live an outrageous life?
Well, I think it's going to be different for everyone because people who have, you know, probably people think my life is way out for them. But for me, an outrageous life is lots of travel, lots of people, lots of opportunities, to use the wisdom God's given me, and I love that, and I do. I travel all over the world, and because I have money now, I can go and I can give, and to me, that's outrageous, but you have to get out of yourself. I didn't travel like this all my life. I just realized that so once I had money, I could travel. I like to travel. Why not do it? What would be my reason for doing it? So every time I go on vacation, I usually have another reason other than just vacationing and go and have some fun with my family or with my friends, but we're accomplishing something else too. That's pretty outrageous to me. I'm still a contributor at age 76. I hope as long as I live, I will always be a contributor.
Make and, you know, that's a beautiful philosophy, and I think that's a great, it's not a secret because you're sharing it, but I think that's so really important, and that can shift people from lack of purpose to really feeling that they're making a difference, to feeling that they're a part of something larger than themselves, and it can actually, I believe, even help people move into a more energetic, healthy, lively, vibrant life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So we have about a minute. Go ahead.
Okay, lots of things to be done out there. That after we've done them, we can laugh, we can say, yes, we made that one better. And, you know, the old starfish story, we think, well, that's kind of stupid. No, it isn't stupid. Every person, every child who has a need needs us to care about that one. We can make a difference.
Yes, we can make a difference, and I think you're living that. You're living it, you're
absolutely
breathing it, you're teaching it, and I admire that. Tell our listeners something else that's really important to you that can help them lead the outrageous life. What do they need to do right now, tomorrow, or even when they get off this show? What do they need to do to begin living that outrageous life, Ben?
Well, the first thing they need to do is just doing what they're doing and say, what do I really want out of this life? What do I really love? Am I a golfer? Is that a place where I can contribute? Am I a seamstress? Am I a walker? What is it that tickles my heart that I can give away some of my passion for it? But you have to start addressing your negativity and saying, let's look at this and see what do I have to change to make it different. And I would be very glad if anybody contacted me through that ICanBecomeAMillionaire.com on my People Builders, thepeoplebuilders.com. Get on there, put your information in, write me a note on that. Or write me a note on the People Builders site. Say you'd like to talk to me. I would be very glad to give you a call and see how I can encourage you.
Well, I think that's great, and I think you've created that opportunity for people to contact you and to see if it's a good fit. How do people get a hold of your book, Beth?
They can get it on Amazon, or they can go to thepeoplebuilders.com, and if there's a link on there, you just click on it, and it'll download a free chapter, or you can order it. So,
well, thank you so much.
Easy to get. Thank you, Dr. White. I appreciate your interview.
Oh, it's wonderful. You know what? And I think, folks, that this book, I mean, these books, they're easy to read. There's so much to them, and they get to, like, what I'm all about, the heart of what matters in each one of us, and also about contribution and giving back. So, Bette, thank you so much for all that you do in the world, for being who you are, for sharing your success secrets, and have a blessed day.
Thank you, and you too.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Folks, we're not going to meet next week, but we're going to be meeting on the 11th, and I want you to stay tuned for my new ebook that's going to come out very soon, which is called Joy. And Jack was talking about the joy of retirement, well, even though it goes into more, and this is going to talk about just how to access that joy that's within inside of you. Have a blessed day, and thanks for sharing your time with us.
been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.